Hello and welcome. Tonight we're going to dive into a new area, a special type of corporation known as a public authority. Public authorities are technically public benefit corporations, but they're a special type of corporation designed to do the work of government. Public authorities are created by the act of a state legislature, or in the case of the federal government, they can create them too by an act of Congress. It's an interesting area of the law. It's a mixture between public and private. Whereas we've dealt mostly in this class about business corporations, which are privately created pursuant to the business corporation law, these entities are created the old-fashioned way. You need an act of the state legislature or of Congress to incorporate them, and they do the work of government. Public corporations, these public authorities, are very straightforward. They build things, they finance them, and they operate them. We're going to talk all about them. And first, I want to go in, do a brief recap. Last time we talked about LLCs, limited liability companies. They're a fabulous new business organization that allows for people to do an affordable way to obtain limited liability. Corporations are expensive. You have to have the corporate form of governance where you have to have directors and officers and shareholders. It's cumbersome. It's expensive. The states provide substantial taxation. You have dual taxation on them. So as a result of that, a lot of people got together and said, you know, this limited liability thing is a great thing, but nobody can always afford it. So we have to turn around and do something that make it more affordable. So what the legislature decided in 1994, if you remember, was to create a mixture between partnerships and corporations. It's like a partnership and a corporation got together and had a baby. That's an LLC. We talked about its history, and it doesn't have a long history. It's only since 1994, by which these two are creatures of statute. Instead of the business corporation law, you found your LLC under the limited liability company law, which is part of New York state law. You form it in accordance with the provisions of that law that we went into at length, and it gets filed. Instead of filing an articles of incorporation, you file an articles of an organization with the Office of Secretary of State. Its purpose is to operate a business for profit, just like a corporation is. Instead of shareholders, it has members. Members are far closer to partners than they are to shareholders because you have direct management out of the membership. The same people who own the business manage it. That's what happens with partnerships. And that's why I said it's kind of like you take a partnership and combine it with a corporation. It operates under a membership agreement. Remember, that was the case that we dealt with last time with Shapiro versus Edison, whereby the individual had a membership agreement that was part of the LLC, and it basically wrote him out of managing the LLC. That is not something you want if you're a member of the LLC, so you look at that membership agreement going in and make sure, because you have to have one, make sure that your rights are protected under it. We talked about the management. It is managed pursuant to this membership agreement, but it is done by the members. Unlike the directors and the officers that do corporate governance that we spent so long on, with an LLC, it's done by the members, the same way a partnership operates on it. Lastly, we talked about the benefits and the limitations. It's not quite as powerful as a corporation. You can't raise the funds the way that you do through the sale of stock out there. They're not tradable. They don't have stock. The members invest in the organization and become part of the management team. So it's kind of limited in and of itself. Whereas it's got so many of the attributes of limited liability that a corporation does. Indeed, you have to put LLC in the name, like you have to put corp or incorporated or incorporation or Inc. in your name of your corporation. You have to put LLC or limited liability company in your name. But at the end of the day, it's far closer in many operating aspects to a partnership. Except that it gets the limited liability, which you don't have in a partnership. Benefits, it's inexpensive. And we talked about that. It's hundreds of dollars to form as opposed to thousands with a corporation. You generally can do much of the work yourself. And as a result of that, it is affordable, easy, portable. It's a much friendlier small business a representation on that. With that, we're going to go into our discussion on public benefit corporations and public authorities. We'll get started.
But first, let's talk about a public benefit corporation. Whereas a business corporation, which we just spent four units on, is to operate a business for profit, a public benefit corporation is just what it sounds like. It's a corporation formed to do something for the benefit of the public. It's not a not-for-profit corporation. A not-for-profit corporation is a private corporation that an individual or group of individuals can form to do something which is not only a public benefit, but frequently a charitable operation, that they'll turn around and try and do scientific work, or they'll turn around and try and do charitable work, or they'll turn around and try and do educational work. And their intent is not to make a profit, it's to do some kind of public service. But a public benefit corporation is a specific type of animal under the law. It's a corporation with all the powers of a corporation, but it's chartered by the state of New York or the federal government. Remember when corporations first came on the scene in the United States, they were all chartered by the state legislatures or the federal government. All of them. And it wasn't until the 1840s that stopped. That we allowed through our general incorporation laws to have individuals go in and file the records with the Department of State and have that corporate charter written up and bring in the articles of incorporation, have the Secretary of State's office look at it and say, okay, that's all good, you met all the requirements of the statute, you get a business corporation. That's not the way a public benefit corporation works. Under the state constitution, public benefit corporations must be chartered by the state of New York. The federal government can do it too. When they're chartered by the state legislature, these public benefit corporations act on behalf of the government to do governmental purposes. One of the most famous ones people recognize because they use it so much is the MTA, the Metropolitan Transportation Authority. These corporations are frequently called state authorities, and the MTA is no different. The reason why they're called authorities we'll get to in a minute, but the MTA is a very famous public benefit corporation because it runs all the railroads and buses and transportation networks in New York City. The Thruway Authority is another famous one. It built the Thruway. It runs the Thruway. Starting to see a picture here? What a public benefit corporation does is finance, operate, and maintain a state interest. So with the Thruway, for example, Governor Dewey, who was the governor of the state of New York, and before him an assemblyman by the name of Abbott Lowe Moffett, wanted to build a state highway from New York City to Albany and Albany to Buffalo. Never been done before. They looked at the autobahns. This is after World War II, that all the soldiers who were returning home from World War II saw in Germany. These were high-speed highways that ran with multiple lanes from one section of the country to the other. And Thomas Dewey, who was the governor, wanted one in New York. We're a big state. So he built over 600 miles of high-speed highway from New York City all the way to Buffalo. But to do that, that came at a cost. It was expensive. Nobody'd ever done it before. And he turned around and he formed a public authority from the Thruway Authority. They issued bonds, and those bonds are paid back by means of the tolls that are paid on the Thruway. And those tolls are also, by the way, the bonds were paid off a long time ago. The original bonds were paid off in the 1980s because it was built in the 1950s and there were 30-year bonds. But why do we still have the tolls? Because you need to maintain the road. The road has to be resurfaced. It has to be plowed. It has to be redesigned. Spurs are built off the road. New exits are built sometimes. And as a result of that, you need a flow of income. Well, that's what public authorities do. They finance, they build, they operate, and they maintain. On behalf of the public, that's why they're called public benefit corporations. Now, the first one of these things was done in England. It was done in London because London, which is a seafaring country, the capital of the seafaring country of England, London had its port in disrepair. It was hundreds of years old. Modern ships were not able to come into the port the way they wanted it to. So they had to turn around and basically renovate its port to keep its seafaring predominant status. So they created this public benefit corporation, a new idea. And throughout the course of the bill that Parliament passed to create this, to charter this new public benefit corporation, the Port of London bill, they said that this new corporation shall have the authority to finance. It shall have the authority to issue bonds. It shall have the authority to operate the port after the bonds are issued. It shall have the authority to do construction projects and to hire people to do the construction projects. It shall have the authority to turn around and collect dock fees so that it was able to pay off the bonds. And because throughout the course of the bill, it constantly was saying, it shall have the authority to, it got nicknamed the Port of London Authority. And ever since then, these things have not just been called public benefit corporations, they've been called public authorities. Well, the first one in the United States was actually in New York. New York does like to copy people sometimes. And in 1921, its port, which at the time was the largest port in the United States, that is no longer the case. The largest port today is in California, Long Beach. But New York has still got a great port. And in 1921, we renovated our port. And we did it the same way London did. We created a public authority. Now, half of New York's port is in New Jersey. So we created a joint authority We didn't do it with the state. We did it with the federal government. Congress chartered that public authority in 1921 to redo the New York port. But it did it as a bi-state authority. It said half of that port is in New Jersey, half of it is in New York, so we'll do a joint authority, we'll call it the Port Authority. And still today, since 1921, it's been operating. The Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, both, operates together with both those states sending commissioners to run it, operates and builds and maintains the New York port. It's done a great job. And after that was so successful, a series of governors recognized, starting with none other than Franklin Roosevelt, that we could use these public benefit corporations, these public authorities, to do great things. In 1928, when he first runs for governor, Franklin Roosevelt runs on one major issue. I want to electrify all of upstate New York. New York City had a lot of electricity. It had a lot of people, so there was a lot of market there for people who were putting in electrical wires to homes to be able to do that. Not so in upstate, much more rural place, particularly back in the 1920s. But Roosevelt said every part of New York ought to be able to have electricity. And it wasn't really economically feasible for private enterprise to do that because they couldn't get a return on their dollar fast enough. Because remember, those corporations need to make a profit. Well, Roosevelt said, we're going to create a public authority and we're going to deliver electricity to all of upstate New York through a new organization called the Power Authority. Before that, you had these little electrical stations. They only go a little way to deliver power. People had generators in their house or they went without power. After the Power Authority delivered power across upstate New York, primarily by building power plants along the waterways in upstate New York. And it helped to turn that over to private business after they built those things, to something called the Niagara Mohawk Power Corporation. It was a private industry, but it was charged and started by the Power Authority, this public benefit corporation, who put in all that infrastructure that then private enterprise could turn around and operate and maintain and then build upon. Now today, Niagara Mohawk is called National Grid. But there's a reason why they were called the Niagara Mohawk Corporation. Niagara River, Niagara Falls. Nikola Tesla built most of the turbines for Niagara Falls. Were used to generate electricity. And the Mohawk River throughout the course of it was used to generate electricity. And by that mechanism, it was helped to electrify most of upstate New York. But it couldn't have done it without the capital infusion by the Power Authority, which built these entities, sold the bonds, and then collected it back through ratepayers. Today, you have hundreds of public authorities to do everything from building parking garages to doing major things like building stadiums and building housing, building transportation networks, airports, all of those kinds of major infrastructure projects, you turn around, a lot of them are done by public benefit corporations. They're an amazing entity. And we have a whole system of law known as the public authorities law. And it provides how these corporations are structured. It governs how the bonds are sold. Remember, this is guy, Abbott Lowe Moffitt. He's the guy that did the thruway with Governor Dewey. The public authorities are amazing entities. And they're in the state constitution, once again, because of Mr. Moffitt. He was the one who wrote our constitutional provisions in 1939, when our most recent constitution came into being. He was a delegate, a statewide elected delegate, for the Constitutional Convention, and he wrote all the provisions on public authorities. And he stood up and said, these entities ought to be independent, they ought to be able to stand on their own two feet, they shouldn't be supported by government, they should be supported by their bondholders, and they should only do the financing and the construction within the purview that the public authorities law, that statute that creates each public authority, allows it to do.